This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Okay, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
This is Daniel Bard.
It's Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball
isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
All right, everybody. I hope everybody had a great first weekend of the 2025 season. First official weekend of the 2025 season. We at Baseball Isn't Boring absolutely had a great first weekend. Boots on the ground in Arlington, Texas, Globe Life Field, where the Rangers took three of the four from the Red Sox. They are one of many, many teams. Well, not many, many teams. A few different teams that got off to a really, really good start. It is all about overreacting to getting off to a good start, feeling good about yourself, feeling good about the team. And we know this, teams that are feeling pretty good about themselves, the Dodgers 5-0, the Yankees 3-0, the Padres 4-0, the Cardinals 3-0, just some of the teams. And by the way, the Yankees, they feel really good about themselves, 15 homers in the first three games. And of course, eliciting the conversation of all conversations in the first weekend, which is torpedo bats. We love some good torpedo bat talk. Who doesn't love good torpedo bat talk, right? And I'm sure we're going to have a bunch of it. We'll continue to keep that conversation going. And I just want to say one thing about torpedo bats. Other teams are using them. Good for the Yankees for scoring a lot of runs. I guess when you score a lot of runs, everyone focuses on that. When you have a guy from MIT basically be the birther of this, then it spices things up a little bit. It's a good conversation. We like bat conversation, and we like conversations about how teams are scoring runs, and we're going to continue that conversation when it comes to the torpedo bats. Yay, torpedo bats. All right, well, as we're talking about people feeling good about themselves, you know who feels good about themselves? William Abreu, Bo Bichette, Tyler Sadas from Fernando Tatis Jr. You know why? Because they each have 7 hits. Lead the major leagues with 7 hits apiece. You know who feels good about themselves? Shota Imanaga. He's gone 11 innings the first two outings, only giving up runs. One run. You know who feels good about themselves? Some other starting pitchers. Nick Bivetta, Jose Seriano, Framber Valdez. They each have gone 7 innings in their first outing and didn't give up a single run. You know who else feels good about themselves? Mackenzie Gore. He struck out 13. Jesus Luzardo. He struck out 11. Hey, listen. It's better to feel good about yourself in that first week, in those first few games, than not. Just ask Rafael Devers. He's not feeling very good about himself right now. All right, we're here to make everybody feel great about themselves. The community of baseball isn't boring. It's such a powerful thing. And the guy that we are sitting down with today is an example of that, Jake Berger. We got a chance to know Jake a little bit with the White Sox and then with the Marlins, and now it's first baseman with the Texas Rangers. He's been on the podcast before, talking a little bit about the mental health initiative that he started a few years ago and really has taken off. getting people to have that conversation more and more and more. And now it's a little bit different conversation. Now he is, him and his wife, Ashlyn, are spearheading the Berger Family Foundation, which we at Baseball is a Boring want to put our full weight behind. BergerFamilyFoundation.org. That's where you want to go. Now, the Berger Family Foundation was born to empower families and disabilities through direct support and transformative community program. Of course, inspired by the Berger family's newborn daughter, Penelope, who was born with an extra 21st chromosome. And this is a foundation which I think everybody should get behind. Everybody should listen in this podcast to the impact that it can have in so many different ways, in so many different families. And of course, we wanted to do everything we can to put our weight behind it, to put Baseball's and Boring's weight behind just being aware of it. Again, BergerFamilyFoundation.org. You can go to the website, but more important, more than just going to the website, we want to do impactful things. We want to highlight why this is so important. We want to highlight why this is a shining example of how somebody like Jake Berger and his family are using their platform in such a meaningful way. So this is what baseball is all about, right? Community, excitement, intent, you know, information, and most importantly, changing people's lives. And that's what we're here to do. And that's what Jake Berger and his wife, Ashlyn, are there to do as well. So anything we can do to help, we're going to do it. And I want everybody to listen to this podcast and listen to Jake, and he can explain it much better than I did. But certainly, you know, this is something I hope that you come out of this podcast after listening to this and help do something. You know, maybe it's for the Berger Family Foundation, maybe it's for somebody else, but this is a great forum. This is a great opportunity, and baseball means so much in so many ways. We talk about it every single day, and I just wanted to take this day, this podcast, to highlight something that I think can be very, very impactful to a lot of people. And also on the podcast, we talked to Nathan Eovaldi because it's time to appreciate pitchers like Nathan Eovaldi. All right, here you go. Here's Jake Berger. There's no human being on the planet I'd rather be talking to right now than Jake Berger. It's fact. And I always appreciate you coming by. I always appreciate our conversations. I always appreciate you seeing you at dinner. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
It was the nicest... Yeah. That was the nicest steakhouse I've ever been to, and I'm not going. I'm
by
only
far.
Going, yeah, I'm on. I mean, you know, who paid? I didn't pay. But one of the great things, I don't know if I talked to you about this. One of the great things about that dinner was how many people tried to fake pay. This is Joe Kelly was paying.
Yeah,
this was our quote unquote book celebration. It was at, what was it, Chicago Cut?
Chicago Cut. Yeah, right on the river. There.
Right on the
Chicago.
River. Yeah. Right. We uh-huh. saw you and your wife.
Yeah.
And we do the fake pay thing. You ever do the fake pay thing?
Yeah, especially with Joe. You
oh,
know?
Really?
Like, ah.
Oh, yeah.
you know, feeling for the wallet.
yeah. And so we're like, okay. And my wife is literally breaking my arm saying, no, you are not paying for this, Joe. Anyway, it was great to see you then. It's always great to see you, Jake. So I want to formally say that we want Baseball Isn't Boring. We want your foundation, the Berger Family Foundation, to be the official foundation for Baseball Isn't Boring. We want to do everything possible to help the cause. We want to do everything we can because this is one of the great things, the power of baseball, the power of relationships, the power of all this, and you're taking advantage of it. So to start with, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
On Penelope and your family. I do want you to explain your foundation so that I don't butcher it.
Yeah.
And also so we can have a documented thing where we say, when we push this out, say, this is what the Baseball Isn't Boring Chief Foundation is.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. So for those that don't know, Penelope, my daughter, was born with Down syndrome. That's why I'm wearing number 21 on the field this year and for the foreseeable future. Trisomy 21 is the clinical diagnosis of what Down syndrome is. And so my wife and I felt a calling to the Down syndrome community, obviously, with Penelope's diagnosis. And for us, we just want we want to help as many people out there, as many families, as many adults with Down syndrome and disabilities in general. And for us, that was starting a foundation, and it's the Berger Family Foundation. It's kind of a two-pronged approach right now. Number one being Penn's Pearls, which basically all money coming in is going to go out to help families with, you know, whether it's a medical expense, a therapy expense, you know, even paying for a babysitter or something, you know, so they can get out of the house, you know, that somebody's very specialized in Down syndrome. And so that's kind of the first approach, is just direct financial support for families with children with Down syndrome. And then our second portion is the Lucky Ranch. And for me, you know, with my two Achilles injuries, it was always getting outside made me feel better. And so for me, I want to create a place, you know, a safe haven for all these kids with different disabilities, whether, you know, it's autism or Down syndrome, whatever it may be, to get outside, get in nature, you know, work with plants, work with animals. And so this ranch basically going to have therapists on it to help with, you know, different types of therapies, whether it's PT, OT, any of the T's there. But
it's
going to be in Tennessee. And we want it to be kind of a safe haven for people around the country to be able to come and, you know, either get their therapies and stuff there for their children, or for adults to kind of have a job and, you know, help on the ranch, be a ranch hand. And, you know, long-term goal there is going kind of farm to table, restaurant as well, where we can employ adults with disabilities and, you know, kind of help them have that financial stability backing them, and then also have some really good food and some locally grown food.
So meat and potatoes, that was a terrible segue into locally grown food, but meat and potatoes is how, if we're gonna say this is our primary foundation, which I'm so happy to do this, but I want to do it impactfully. So how can listeners, how can people who are consumed this brand impact what you're doing with your foundation?
Yeah, so right now we have some apparel stuff up on our website that all of that is going directly to that Penn's Pearl fund that I was talking about. So that's probably the most direct way. We have a donation page on it, and you know, nobody needs to feel obligated to donate, but it's greatly appreciated always. And then kind of looking forward, we have a softball game that's going to be at the Sound Stadium in November.
Okay.
So it'll be something. There's a lot that goes into it that we're going to release about it, but you know, it's going to be a really cool event. And you know, just kind of raising as much money as we can for the foundation and to help as many people as we can.
So I love events like that. And so I look forward to talking about why I'm thinking about this. Because I just talked to a former teammate of yours, Giolito, right? And we were talking about another former teammate of yours, Dylan Cease.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we kept saying was, Dylan has the disc golf thing.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
How we cannot have a disc golf tournament in a ballpark is beyond me.
Right.
And that is a goal for this year. And now I am so locked into it. This is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
This is what we're going to do for the foundation. I mean, right?
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
I'm right. I mean,
I'm not a disc golfer, but.
But who
know,
is? Yeah, I mean, exactly. But still, it's like the fact that it just makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So the ideas are popping.
For sure.
How to come back to. You say you talked about your wife and yourself having sort of this calling.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you know, life is full of unexpected twists and turns. When you basically have the blessing of your daughter, what is the first thing that jumps to mind for you? Is it like, hey, did you spring right into this? Would your wife and yourself spring right into this?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, when we got the diagnosis, we were. I don't know. For me, it was one of those things where I'm like, you know what, this is God's blessing, and you know, this is going to be a beautiful life. And my wife had the same thought. And for us, I think we're in such a unique world where we have a platform, and you know, we want to use that platform for good. And we know that we're fortunate and grateful to have a lot of resources to be able to help Penelope in her therapies. And for us, using that platform and trying to give as many resources to as many families as possible to help them through this journey. And, you know, children with Down syndrome, adults with Down syndrome are some of the most joyful individuals there are that you'll ever meet. And, you know, I think that needs to be celebrated. And no better way to do that than, you know, help out everybody that we can.
When you're coming up playing baseball, you want to be good at baseball. You want to make the major leagues. And you're right. I mean, this is what we're talking about. Like, the not to get too sappy, but this is one of the great things about baseball, right?
Yeah.
You meet a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of different people. And when you're younger, like you said, you went through your own adversity with Achilles stuff. But I don't know, like, even before this happened, if you saw an example of this, of baseball helping people.
Yeah, I mean, you see it, like, kind of all over the place, you know, whether there's people rallying around a certain cause. You know, you see it, you know, after 9/11 and, you know, just baseball kind of being that sport that brings everybody back together. And, you know, you see big things happen, you know, that are part of just living in this world, that baseball can kind of bring everybody back together. And for us, I think that's what's so beautiful about this is you always have an ex-teammate on a different team, and you know, you always have that support. And it was really cool, just like, this organization, the Rangers, have been unbelievable to my wife and I throughout this entire journey and helping us any way they can. And that's also said about everybody else in the league, you know, that I played with before or, you know, never met before. They're all super supportive and have just kind of embraced it, and they've been awesome.
Yeah, I mean, the outpouring probably was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like, honestly, overwhelming in a sense.
Really?
I, like, didn't really expect it, you know. Didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
And, it's just been, it's been unbelievable. And, you know, just puts a smile on my face every day knowing, you know, this community is going to get the love and support they deserve.
You've landed at such a good place, right? I mean, not only because you got off to a good start in the games that I've seen you play, but also the Rangers seemed like just a really good fit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird because, like, when you were traded from the White Sox, where everyone was like, what? Like, what? Uh-huh. I think maybe we talked about it. It was a surprise, right?
Mm-hmm.
To everybody. You land, you know, you make the playoffs. What was it like when you landed with the Rangers? Obviously, this is before all the things we were talking about. Like, what was that like for you?
Yeah, it was exciting, you know. I know they knew they had a good team, you know, played them previous years. And, you know, obviously, nothing but respect for the Marlins and all my ex-teammates over there.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I got traded and got the call, you know, it was like, all right, like, let's go. And, you know, try and be in the best physical shape, mental headspace that I can be. And, you know, there's one goal in mind, and it's to win the World Series. And, you know, we take that every single day, that mentality and, you know, that gratitude to be out here every single day with a work ethic that's unmatched. And, you know, it fired me up. You look at our staff, it's electric, you know. And you look at this lineup, it's deep 1 through 9. You feel like you can leave the yard in every single spot in that order. So it was exciting. And, you know, Texas is really similar to Tennessee where we're at. And, you know, it kind of seemed like the perfect fit.
Baseball-wise, does it feel like after, you know, you wake your way with the White Sox and you go to the Marlins, you have some moments there, does it feel like you've, okay, I found my spot, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there's always pros and cons to every organization you play with, but, you know, I think the Rangers ownership and front office done an incredible job here of, you know, providing every single resource possible to get the most out of you. And, you know, now it's just using it to your...
What are you different? Goal. Like, how are you, like, in that respect? I like to get wonky. Like, do they adjust anything? Do they say, we see you do this or do that?
No, I mean, I think they're really good at just allowing you to be you and getting the best out of you of who you can be. And providing those resources to you, you know, it doesn't mean you're going to use every single resource, but to make you the best myself, the best Jake Berger I can be, the resources are there. Now it's just utilizing them and getting to work.
If we can, like, we go back to sort of helping people. I think the first time that we had talked was you were very open about mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, since then, since you started talking about it, I think it's acceptance of it has grown exponentially.
Yeah.
A guy on your teammate or on your team right now, Chris Martin, you know, he stepped back and, for anxiety issues. And I've talked to a guy who I'm very good friends with, Daniel Bard, who did the same when the Ibs came back. Like, there's accepting of this.
Yeah.
For you, have you seen that element of baseball take a step forward?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. You know, I think over the last five years or so, I feel like it's really taken off, you know, and kind of that mentality of, you know, being accepting of it and, you know, understanding that, you know, out there, it's a jungle out there, and, you know, it can speed up on you, and, you know, even off the field, it can speed up on you. So it's been really cool to see that kind of overture and, you know, that constant working towards the ultimate goal of, you know, accepting, you know, mental health is a real issue.
Did you feel, I mean, have you been able to, do you feel like you've been able to talk to guys about that more?
Yeah.
In clubhouses or whatever it is or across the field?
For sure. Yeah. No, it's, I feel like everyone's battling some sort of anxiety or anxiousness out there, and you know, just being able to have guys that are open about it and be able to talk about it is the first step, you know. Yeah. And then it's kind of how to deal with it after that.
Well, thank you for that. The last thing is, I was doing something with Garrett Crochet the other day, and we love science, and we're trying to figure this one out. You obviously have the iconic photo that the spring training had, right?
Yep.
Where you had the sunburn when the Major League Baseball decided to have the trucker hats. How does he not? How do you get the sunburn, and how he does not?
I actually don't know the scientific reason for that.
This is one of the great mysteries of baseball. He is completely bald.
I mean, sunscreen on too.
Really?
Yeah. It's just like, I don't know if it's just because he's a pitcher, he's not out there for as long as we are. You know, maybe that's what it is.
Well, I tell you what, you enacted change because they'll never do that again.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of enacting change, thank you for all that you do.
Yeah.
And I look forward to this partnership, and we're going to have some good things.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
It's fantastic sitting down and talking to Jake. Such a good guy. What a great family. And again, the BurgerFamilyFoundation.org. We're going to keep pounding that. We're going to keep talking about that. It's a very, very important thing to use our platform in the world of baseball to do good things and to highlight things that are going to help people. That's what we're here to do in so many different ways. Well, Nathan Eovaldi, he's a guy that's been helping the Texas Rangers the last few years. He's certainly helped them the first outing of the year. He was Nathan Eovaldi-like. But more importantly, I wanted to know why Nathan Eovaldi is able to do what he does at the biggest time, on the biggest stages, in the biggest ways. I think it's a pretty good topic. I think it's a pretty good conversation. I don't know if it's...
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Science, but if you're talking about why pitchers are the best of the best at the most important time and trying to figure out why that is the case, well, Nathan Eovaldi is a perfect guy to try to uncover that science. All right, here you go. Here's Nathan Eovaldi.
There's no human being I'd rather be talking to right now than Nathan Eovaldi. That's a fact. How are you?
I'm good. I'm doing really good. Yeah, how you doing?
Congratulations on your first start of the year.
Thank you.
I was talking to Garrett Whitlock about you. He said nice things. And talk about preparing for these big moments, these signature moments and everything else. I don't know what advice you can give. Like, one of the things he said is that you guys were competitive in everything. So when you get to the big moment, it's just another thing to be competitive at. But as a guy who has gone through different levels of, you know, postseason, opening day, whatever, we're here to educate young minds. What would you say to people in terms of trying to be the best?
best at that?
I think it's just preparation. I think preparation for success every day. Trying to find that 1%, whatever it is, to get better each and every day and to make yourself better. I don't know really what it is about those big moments. I enjoy being there. I enjoy trying to prepare for them. And I think the most prepared as you can be to be able to go out there and have success, it's a good recipe to have.
Do you ever remember being, you've done it so many times, do you ever remember being nervous at any point?
Yeah. I feel like I'm always nervous.
That's not a bad thing, right?
Yeah. I feel like I get nervous all the time. Even on the start day leading up to it was like I was having a hard time going to sleep at night just thinking about the game so much and how I want to attack the guys, what I'm going to need to be able to go out there and do. And there's a time where you got to be able to turn that switch off, right, and kind of step away from the game. And you're putting all that time and effort in at the field, right? But when I get home, I need to be able to just spend time with the family and stuff. And I think that's one of the things I'm able to do. It's like we've got a great support system and stuff at the house, and I think it helps me be able to, when I'm at the field, it's all about baseball. And when I'm at home, like, I'd be lying if I'm saying I'm not thinking about baseball, but it's not as much as if I was alone and stuff like that. So being able to focus, prepare, and just being able to turn that switch on when it's time. If I started doing that, and as soon as the moment I woke up in the morning, I feel like I'd be mentally drained and fatigued and wouldn't be able to have that success. But I think that's where having a good routine comes in as well. Coming into the field, it's like knowing, like, all right, hey, I'm at the field, I'm prepared, and now it's just kind of like do my things that I've normally been doing and wait for that, for the game time to start, and then it kind of all, comes out then.
He said that you guys were competitive, who could stay in the steam room the longest.
Yeah, right? I feel like it's a little bit of everything, right? Yeah. You always feel like you can, you're doing really good, I'm setting the bar, and then you got somebody else who comes along and tries to do the same thing, and they're doing it as well, right? Yeah. You don't know what they're doing at home, behind the scenes, whether it's eating, you're dieting, you're sleeping. You come to the field, and it's like, we would pull the sled, and who could pull the sled the fastest around the field?
Oh, believe me, I still have the image of you coming out of the fog at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Salt bikes, what routine works best for you, and then getting other guys on that routine, and taking other things from him as well. And we're out here and we're supporting each other. I think it's nice when you're out here and you're working really hard, and somebody else is working just as hard as you, and you want them to have that success as well when they're out there on the mound. You're striving for them, and then whatever they do, right, that next outing, you want to try and do better than they did, right? And but also at the same time, you're never rooting, there's never anything negative going on against each other, but it's always that positive reinforcements. And I think that's part of watching the bullpens and stuff on the sides. It's like, okay, you see something that might be happening during the game, and then they trust you, and you can go up to them and talk to them during the game. And there's been a lot of guys in the past that they don't want to hear anything during a game, right? They want to focus on what they need to focus on, but it's almost like you're hearing it from another coach because you trust the fact that they see how hard you work, and they see the training and everything that goes into it, and they trust it. I think whenever you have trust and belief in what you're doing and what others are doing for you, it's easier for you to relax and have success out there.
Along those lines, all these things, the value of you, and this is why I think that teams, we can talk about age, experience, whatever it is, the value of you is a lot of these things that we're talking about. When you get to this offseason and you enter into another free agency, and I know how many teams are interested in everything, I think it came down to the Red Sox and Rangers. Would that be accurate? Yeah, okay. The value of you, the reason is the value of you is they see all that. And do you think that's valued enough in baseball, is what I'm saying? Because we say so much spin rate and everything else.
Yeah, I think it's one of the things that kind of gets put on the back burner, right? You want the guy who's going to be able to have the great numbers and spin rates and things like that, because the game is so focused on analytics and everything now. I feel like there's trying to become a little bit more predictable in the outcome and what this guy can give you and that. But I think it goes a long way, right? We talked about it a lot when I was over there with the Red Sox and DC, and it's like you can't win with the 25 guys you have on the field. It's going to take the 60, it's going to take the staff and everybody else behind the scenes to be able to go out there and win the World Series. And ultimately, that's the goal you want to have at the end of the day. We're not trying to rebuild or anything over here. You got a lot of young guys who are going to come up, but you want them to have that success right away. You don't want them to hit those struggles. And I think if you can kind of help prepare them and get them right for those situations, when they do struggle, it's not going to be for a long time. They're going to be able to make those adjustments and bounce back out of it. You see the guys over there with the Red Sox too, the young players that are coming up and making an impact and getting the taste of like the big leagues and spring training and things like
that. But to have someone to say like, to say, this is, you have talent, right? Yeah. But this is like how you sort of navigate a season. This is how you win. This is probably, I mean, I know that you know this, but I'm just saying that this is, people like yourself are so important in baseball. And I would like to think teams are, it's a cyclical thing in baseball, right?
It is, yeah. I mean, again, it's like, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon, right? But you're running at a fast pace throughout the entire season. And sometimes we can get caught up on one bad outing or one, you know, bad result, and it affects us in the long run because we all strive for perfection and we all want to go out there and have the best success. But, you know, sometimes you learn a lot through those failed experiences, and I feel like I've experienced that a lot of my career. You want to try to learn from them and, you know, not make those same mistakes again. But again, talking with the young guys, it's, you want to prepare them for those moments. And when it does happen, it's like, yeah, it stings, but at least now we know like what we got to do to be better and bounce out of it. And I think having, you know, guys like myself and DeGrom and Mally and, you know, the coaching staff that we have, it kind of helps our younger guys get out of those situations a lot quicker and keep us all on the same page and going forward and, you know, having that good success.
Well, I appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Of course.